Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This is the Seahawkers Podcast. I'm Brandon Schultz of the Military Seahawkers, and I am joined by my good buddy, Adam Emmert. Adam, we are not yet done talking about the Seahawks 2023 draft.
Well, yeah, I mean, we got weeks until OTAs, so what else you got? Of course we're still talking more draft, and I think we got a fun topic for you guys today. This is going to be a good time.
Yes, we are going to be talking about the top four Seahawks from the 2023 draft, and it's not just which players we think are going to be the top four. It is selecting the guys that we want. Like, if we had to choose guys that we want to hit on this team for the upcoming season, these are the four guys that we're going to pick.
Okay. And yeah, so it's almost as like you came across a lamp and Shaq popped out and gave you a wish. You know, you rubbed it on the side, like, and your wish was, all right, man, in a draft that we just had, I get to choose which guys pop, which ones would they be? And kind of the idea being is last year was an all-timer for John, right? That was awesome. Yeah, I think everybody's fired up about that draft. And he hit on five or six players in that draft. And by hit, I mean be a decent starter out the box.
My next question is, how much power does the genie have? Like, is this Pro Bowl level capability for these players, or it's just their starters in 2023?
I think it varies from position to position what you need out of them. Like, do you need X guy to be a superstar? Do you need this guy to just be a solid contributor? Depending on, let's say you see Boye Mafe.
Yeah.
Was he a starter? No. Was he a solid contributor? Yeah.
So the genie has the ability to make him a solid contributor.
Yes. Or whatever it is that you would hope his role would be, I guess is kind of what I'm thinking here.
Yeah.
So thinking like a five or six hits is a monster draft. Like, four hits is a darn good one. So, yeah, Brandon, we're going to kind of go through these picks kind of almost snake drafty style, right?
Yeah.
And I think you got pick one. What are you thinking? If you had Shaq on your side busting you a wish off here and saying, which dude do you want to take number one to be a hit from the 2023 draft class?
See, off the top, the reason why I like this is because I don't necessarily have to go with the first pick that the Seahawks took, because I think that there's if their top cornerback, Devin Witherspoon, if it turned out that he wasn't good, like a superstar, although I'd want him to be a superstar, like, they have depth there. So I'm not going to use my first pick right away. We'll see how this plays out, but I'm going to go then to the offensive line and select guard Anthony Bradford out of LSU. Mm. Because if they're going to have a starter out of all of the players they drafted, I think having one at guard has the opportunity to be the biggest impact in terms of the run game. It's just, when I look at all of the positions on the offensive line right now, right guard is probably the weakest spot. So if I can put a guy that I know is solid in there and have the rest of the line filled out, I think that ends up improving Geno. It ends up improving the running backs, and it gives Geno more time to hit the open receivers. So for my first pick, I'm going with guard Anthony Bradford.
Interesting. I do like it. I thought about Bradford a little bit also, and you're dead on with the idea of how much that would potentially open things up for, DK, JSN, Tyler, Geno, and the like, and making the offense really hum. So for my next pick here,
Brandon, also pancakes. I think he's good at making pancakes.
you know what? He is a heck of a breakfast cook, man. Like I'm into it when you watch it on the tape there. We'll see if he can put it together, you know, late round lineman. Yeah, you know, a little hit or miss, but
middle hey, round man. Lineman.
Yeah, okay. We can call it mid round. Sure. Sure. It'd be awfully exciting if he were to hit. So I think with the next pick here, I'm going to not go with my number one guy, but I'm going to use this guy because I think it is an interesting conversation with Bradford. Mm. But my pick here at number two would be Olu. I'm not even going to try to say his name yet. I got time to work that out. So
I got it. I've already worked on it. It's Olusegun Oluwatimi.
Oluwatimi.
Yeah.
Okay. That's easier. I can do that with Timmy. Oluwatimi. And the reason why I was thinking him, say, over Bradford, or is it Bradford or Bradbury? Now that I'm saying
Bradford,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. For some reason, I was getting confused in my head. But
I think there was it was Cushenberry, who was the center at LSU who went to the Broncos last year.
There we go. That's who what
we
I
played next
about.
To. So
there we go. There we go. So the reason I'd take Olu over Bradford here is that you've got, if he can hit and be a, I don't know, upper tier center.
Right.
That's just massive in just with calling out protections and working with Geno and being the leader of the offensive line and being able to stand up to the Aaron Donalds of the world and things like that on the interior, man, that would be huge. That would be so huge. And then you could take somebody like Evan Brown and you could pop him over at guard. And I think there's a possibility he could be solid. And he was okay at guard when he was in Detroit last year. So that's why I'd maybe lean a little bit more towards Oluwatimi, just because, damn, I nailed it. That was awesome.
You nailed it. And I was going to let it slide by and just let you, you know, have your moment, but you wanted to spike the football. So there you go.
Boom. Gronk it. I just think the center position, and I know you agree, Brandon, is such an underrated position in terms of importance. And, you know, he's a monster of a human, and just having that anchor right there, when we've kind of had some undersized guys here for a couple of years, boy, that'd be nice.
I would be into it for sure, because you know how I've been looking for a center. And when you look at the resume of Oluwatimi, he won the Outland Trophy, which is not an award for offensive line in particular or defensive line. The Outland Trophy goes to the best interior lineman in college. And so if you look down the list of guys that won the award, and the award goes all the way back to the 50s, where you're talking Merlin Olsen and Bruce Smith in the 80s, Joe Thomas won it, and Ndamukong Suh won it on the defense. Aaron Donald won it. Brandon Scherff as a guard. Quinnen Williams as a defensive tackle. And Penei Sewell, one of the more recent ones on the offensive line. So when you look at some of those names, you get pretty excited when you start seeing some Hall of Famers and potential future Hall of Famers on that Outland Trophy winner list.
There was somebody in the comments on the last vid that we put out, the draft recap, that, and I wish I could remember their name and attribute it to it, right? But I just don't. There's been two other dudes to win the Outland Award and then whatever the center award is that he won as well.
Right.
Two other dudes in the history of the league.
That's what he said, but I was trying to go back.
I don't know if this is true.
Yeah.
Yeah. But according to him, zero snaps in the NFL.
Yeah, and I don't think that's necessarily accurate, but
okay.
I think what he was getting at, I went back and I was looking, because I was trying to figure out what the stat might be that the commenter was pointing to, and maybe he can comment here and let us know. But it was in 2005, it was the last center who to win the Outland Trophy was Greg Esslinger. And he went to the University of Minnesota, and he was drafted by the Broncos, which was probably part of the problem.
Yeah, exactly.
He was a sixth round pick, and he must have taken snaps at some point, because he played from 2006 to 2008. But anyway, maybe there's just not any stats on his career stats. So maybe there's another center I'm missing, but he was the one center in the history of both awards that I could see. And so that makes Olu due to become a Hall of Famer.
That's true. and he's a grown ass man. And I like it. I do like that draft pick. And the more that I watch of him and the more that I hear and all of that stuff, I've definitely become a lot more fired up about his potential.
All right. So the next pick falls to me. I know who you want to take. And so I'm a little bit hesitant to.
I've got two dudes
to take him off the board. I have multiple guys. Maybe we end up going to six picks.
Okay.
But I guess the next guy that I would take then, just because it's another hole on the roster that needs to have an impact player, and that would be Cam Young, defensive tackle out of Mississippi State. You have a guy, if you can just plug a dude in the middle of the defense, and one of the things that I think that we've looked at here in the recent days since the draft, too, is that, you know, Jaron Reed, in terms of run stops, he was top 20 in the NFL last year in run stops. So that makes me feel a little bit better about the Reed signing if you're talking about guys who can plug up the middle. So if you have Cam Young in the middle, we still don't know the status of Al Woods, if he'll be back. We saw that Puna Ford signed with the Bills. And so that's also, it's the recent news of Puna Ford that's, you know, heavily weighing in on my yeah. needs for Cam Young to be good. And if you can have that guy, if you can have Reed be solid run stoppers in the middle, you can have just adequate production from your ends, being able to
set the edge,
right? Yeah. Then it's down to whether or not the linebackers can be good. And one of them is a Hall of Famer and Bobby Wagner. So I think if you can count on Cam Young being that guy to, and I'm not even talking about sacks or anything. I want the genie to make him good at taking up two offensive linemen. And that's what I want. And hopefully we can get that from Young.
Yeah, it's a great pick. That's probably, you're right. My number one wish would be for Cam Young to hit, but it's for a number of different reasons. And you hit on a few of them, but you're right. I don't need him to be Aaron Donald. I don't need 10 sacks. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for Vince Wilfork. Like, I want a guy who just stands there and nobody can move. And he soaks up 2 to 3 guys. Like, that's what you need in a 3-4.
I'm not even looking for Vince Wilfork. I'm looking for Sebastian Joseph Day.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I just meant more play style, more so than, you know, I need him to be that guy. Just that more style. Like, the sacks from nose tackles in a 3-4, it's such an overrated stat in a lot of ways. Like, that's not the majority of their job. If you get some sacks out of your nose tackle, that's a bonus. Congratulations. That's great. But you didn't draft somebody like Cameron Young to be a sack artist. That's what you signed Draymond Jones for. Right. That's exactly what he is. He's a great interior pass rusher. And if Cam Young hits, that means that he's soaking up double teams, which means that leaves Draymond one-on-one. That means that leaves Devin Bush clean. That means that leaves Bobby Wagner clean to, you know, scrape down and take care of their gap assignments and all of that. You want to maximize the Draymond Jones signing? Have Cam Young be a hit. And when you pointed out the Jaron Reed thing to me yesterday, man, that definitely made me feel better. Although he's listed as a D end, believe it or not, on the roster, which I find interesting. But I would count him more as a interior defensive tackle. They've got Draymond listed as a D end as well, whatever that means.
Well, usually, usually in a 3-4 style defense, your nose tackle is listed as a defensive tackle, and then the defensive ends are the guys on either side of them.
Yeah, like the five tech guys.
Right.
Which I think is the right tech for what those guys play.
Three tech and five tech, yeah.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, that's great. Five tech. But as far
as... they can also play 3-I or 5-I or 2-I. Some of the eyes.
Yeah, they can do a lot of stuff. Yeah. but point being is that really the only guys that could possibly play nose would be Monet, Jaron Reed, and a fourth round rook. Like, that's where we're at.
And Reed's kind of pushing it as far as whether or not I'd want him as nose.
Not down in, down out.
No,
I don't think so. But maybe more in second and longs and things like that than sure. But in, you know, the running game and things like that, no, I don't think so. So they're going to have to do something there. But boy, if Cam Young hit there It maximizes your Draymond investment. It maximizes your Bobby investment. It helps if Jamal Adams can be healthy, helps keep him clean so he can, you know, clean up and do what he does and run support. It could be, he could be the most important player in this entire draft picked as the second pick in the fourth round. It's crazy.
Well, I took your pick, which means you have a bonus pick now, I suppose, with the fourth pick.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, got one or two guys. Which way do I want to go? I'll tell you what, I'm going to go with Zachary Charbonnet. And
all right,
one of the reasons I think this is important that he hits is that, one, it's going to be tough for K-9 to play, you know, pretty much every snap for an entire season. That seems unlikely. He's a human being, so that's just hard to do. Having that 1-2 punch would be huge. And then thirdly, I think having a more reliable run game with a combination of K-9 and Charbonnet is more helpful for Geno than the addition of JSN. Like, bringing in that last receiver to fill out a room or something like that, it's one of those cherry on top picks to me. And yeah, that's great. And he's probably going to do cool stuff, and that's awesome. But I think when Geno is at his best is when they're not dropping back to throw, you know, 70% of their plays throughout a game because the run has just been stuffed. If you want to maximize your investment that you've put into Geno and now the investment that you have in your receivers, then heck, Charbonnet and K-9 coming together to form a dynamic duo, that just does it. So I think his impact could be greater than JSN's just this year. And I hope Genie Shaq grants me that wish.
But Adam, why would you select a running back in the second round and destroy the value of your second round pick that you took the year before?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, because the alternative is to you need a little more derpa derper in there, but you know, it's just stupid. That K-9 pick last year really stunk. It ruined the team.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're devaluing K-9's impact to the team by having another running back who is potentially
something
good,
like that, don't they?
Because my fantasy team, I have Ken Walker on my fantasy team, and I need him to get me 100 yards every week. And how am I supposed to do that if Zachary Charbonnet is getting 40 yards?
I mean, what if Charbonnet ends up the goal line back and takes all of his
touchdown carries? Oh, that would be a disaster.
Yeah, never mind that your team scoring catfish touchdowns. That's great. That's what you want. You want your team. I like Charbonnet's tape. I finally figured out the guy that he looked like to me. He looks like Matt Forte. He looks like a
bigger Matt Forte, I suppose.
They're about the exact same size, and they look very similar running the football. They both have good pass catching ability. Matt Forte was a really good back for a number of years. He wasn't elite, but he was really damn good for a number of years. And I think that's what Charbonnet looks like to me.
He's a step below of what I consider Walker, but I think he has the ability to be really good. So, okay, we've done our four. Can I throw in a bonus?
Yes.
Penn State long snapper Chris Stoll brought in as an undrafted free agent. If we have a long snapper that hits again, that's another spot at a position of need. Hey, they didn't go ahead and draft him in the third round or fourth round. They waited until undrafted free agency and brought him in and still filled the position of need. An award winner, the Patrick Manley Award, which is apparently the award that long snappers get if they're good. And okay. So Chris Stoll, we need you, buddy.
Is it Skoll or Stoll?
Stoll.
Okay.
Because don't want to give Vikings fans
I just would rub it into Vikings fans' nose that we have the Skoll.
Okay.
Like that's the way I would go with that one. But, yeah, the funny thing is it's a little bit underrated, the long snapper. We've seen long snappers get injured in critical times throughout seasons for different teams. And, you know, the wheels on the bus fell off. Like, it was bad.
And we didn't have to draft a special teamer in the third round like the stupid 49ers.
Yeah. Idiots filling a hole on their roster that, you know, is important. Morons.
And I think with that,
there's only one thing left to say.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks.